Good morning, everyone. God is good. And all the time. Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ as we gather together to worship on the 12th Sunday after Pentecost on this beautiful day that God has given us. I want to welcome those I can see and those who are online as well. There's a guest register book hanging around, those red ones, and if you're a guest with us, if you give that information, we greatly appreciate it. I want to welcome Charlie Frederick. If you don't remember, he's one of the guys that sits in the back row during the choir season, one of our basses. And Charlie's going to be singing for us today, and we thank him for being here with us today. A couple announcements just to look at. The adult education coming up, beginning the last Saturday of this month, with that book discussion. So please take note of that. If you have any questions, you know, Laura Haas, her information is there. You can reach out to her. Then, to remind you, on the first Sunday of the month, during on Communion Sunday, we'll be starting to offer a Sunday school for our younger children. Details are there, so please share that information. So if you know people, your children, or your grandchildren, or somebody who wants like to be with us, and yet we're going to have some kind of educational opportunity for them while we're worshiping here. On the last two pages, things that are going to be happening 2 weeks from today, is right after church, the small one at the bottom of the page is about the lemonade cookies thing and about donations we'll need. That's right after church at 11:30 down. I call it like the porch or portico down here. And then 12:30 is all the other details about when the other United Church of Christ churches in Northern Kentucky we're hosting. They're gathering here. We're going to do a luncheon and then an impromptu dartball tournament to see if there's enough interest to revitalize that. And I know I've sort of chastised you about bragging rights among the clergy. I find out that St. Paul and Alexandria, they have been playing in-house since the league stopped, which means they can't win, right? I mean, that's just to let you know. So it's supposed to be some fun, but there is this. I grew up on the west side of Cincinnati, and it's the Elder West High thing, you know, the city school and the Roman Catholic school, and it was all about bragging rights, and then the state decided that it would count. It didn't count for win-loss, but it's all about fun. So put that on your calendar, spend a day with us, come to church, do the lemonade cookies, stay for lunch, and some fellowship with our other UCC folk. Are there any other announcements for the good of the community today? Oh, Carol says they got the dartboard set up. So if you think you need to practice, it's available. Is it down in a fellowship on the stage?
It's against the wall. Just hit the board, not the wall.
If you didn't hear, she says it's next to the wall. Hit the board, not the wall. Okay. All right. Did you already try and hit the wall? Is that why you're saying? No. Okay. I'm just double checking. All right. You hit the board. So it's down there if you'd like to practice and see if you can, if you played on the team, if you still have your form. Any other announcements? If not, let us open our minds and hearts in an attitude that allows God's presence to move among us as we prepare to worship God this day. Thank you.
Morning.
Morning.
Those who can, please stand and join me in the call to worship. We come to this place of God's visitation and blessing. Everyone is welcome here. We are sons and daughters of the new covenant, disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. We are one in Christ, who has chosen us and equips us for our ministry. The gifts of God are for no one religion, and God's family includes all creation. God's people are of many races and creeds, old and young, rich and poor, of every land. We gather to celebrate God's revelation in Jesus, while others worship the same God in other ways. Let us worship our God in the best way we know how. Please join me in the prayer of adoration and confession. For faith that keeps us steadfast in prayer and faithful in well-doing, we give you thanks, O God. For hope that enlightens our future and encourage our persistence, we give you thanks, O God. For love that will not let us go and that warrants the coldness of our hearts, we give you thanks, O God. God of all, creator of all things, larger than our imagining and smaller than our notice, we praise you that your image resides in each of us and that everything bears your mark. Yet we confess that we have limited our perception of your unlimited grace. In this we hinder ourselves more than you. Hear us, heal us, deliver us from the boundaries we create, and set us free to serve you in the ministries you have called us to. This we pray in your mighty name. Amen.
Hear the good news. Hear God's word from Colossians. God rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us safe into the kingdom of his dear Son, by whom we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. This is the word of assurance for us and all people who sorrow for their sin and desire to lead a new life of mutual love and respect as brothers and sisters in God's family. Praise be to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Dearly beloved, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven now and forever. Amen.
The first scripture reading for the morning is from the prophet Isaiah, who is one of the major prophets of the Old Testament. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance will be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. And the second scripture is from that famous book of poetry, the Psalms. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of heaven, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. May God's blessing be on these readings from his holy word.
Watch and just know. springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with our nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thy omnipresence to cheer and to guide, strength for
Thank you, Charlie. Appreciate it. As we continue our gospel readings in the Gospel of Matthew in this Pentecost season, our text today is in chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. This particular text is entitled The Canaanite Woman's Faith. So hear these words from Matthew as he continues to describe Jesus' ministry moving through Galilee. Jesus left that place and he went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and they urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came, and she knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of the Holy Word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We're in the middle of August, and we're starting to prep. Some schools have started. Charlie and I were talking a little bit about that before church today, as we're trying to get into some kind of routine. It's coming up soon, of what we think to do. And sometimes, because we have lagged during the summer, we need to unclog our minds a little bit and clear ourselves to do something. So I thought I'd start with a little quiz for you today as we get ready to go in. The first part is fill in the blank. I'm going to give you an incomplete sentence. And then together, I want you to shout out the word that finishes it. Do I need to repeat the instructions? Okay, just checking. Now, here we go. California is a state on the west. Okay. If I have a party, you are the guest and I am the. And into my toaster, I would put. Oh, no, 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 no. It's bread. I put bread in the toaster and it comes out as toast. All right, let me try another one. Now I'm going to give you some information, and then I'm going to ask you a question about it at the end. Now you can do it without a calculator. Just listen. I'm driving a bus from Cincinnati to Cleveland. In Middletown, 17 people get on the bus. In Dayton, 6 people get off. 9 people get on. In Columbus, 2 people get off and 4 people get on. In Mansfield, 11 people get off and 16 people get on. In Wadsworth, 6 people get off and 3 people get on. The bus pulls into the Cleveland Bus Depot. What was the name of the bus driver? Me. I am the bus driver. Yeah. So the question is, weren't you listening? But that's not the question that you were expecting. That's the point. What that shows us, even though it's a little bit of fun, what it shows us is that sometimes our expectations shape how we hear and how we respond to something. So it's not for lack of listening. You were probably paying very good attention as I rattled off those numbers. But your expectations of a math question fooled you when I asked the question. That's part of the human psyche that we do that. It's how our human brain operates. It's how we take in information. And so sometimes, and I was reading all this, it was about the only way our brains can process the enormous values of information our senses are given at any one time, because we're always bombarded with stuff and we're taking it in all the time. And it said, with our lifetime, we accumulate trillions of little pieces of information. And as we grow and learn, what happens is the brain assimilates them into patterns. And any new information that we receive, when we take it in, it goes through those patterns for the expectation of what we're, just for us to figure it out what to do. Cognitive scientists call these giant patterns frames, and have discovered they are embedded in our very neurons and synapses. And so our brain technically is hardwired into these frames and patterns as we learn, it gradually moves into those. So when I introduce the second one, it says, don't worry, you won't need a calculator. You started thinking math, and that's where your brain went. I made the frame, and then you all just followed. In a book entitled Blink, The Power of Thinking Without Thinking, Malcolm Gladwell has a similar discussion about the powers and the pitfalls of this unconscious eternal computing, is what he calls it. He looks at all the kind of snap judgments that we do, from the 5 minutes you walk into somebody's living room, and that you can figure out to give a pretty accurate assessment of what you see and what's going on. He was commenting at the point he was talking about when the speed dating was a big deal. I don't know if it still is, but you have to make a judgment in the moment you're sitting with somebody, like in 1 or 2 minutes, and figure out whether this is the person you want to go out with or not. But deciding on our patterns and analyzing through our frames and judging on our expectations, most of the time, he says, it works. We do pretty well at taking that instant computing and do that. But a lot of it's on rational analysis. And because it's based on prior knowledge and prior experience, it's something we have done. So you're filtering everything that you take in from where you've been, what you've learned, what has happened in your life. Doesn't work all the time, like in the trick question I ask you. So it doesn't work all the time. Sometimes our expectations can mislead us in how we take in information. Because what happens in an instant, we respond to that situation without thinking. And so it frames. And whatever we think first literally comes above. That becomes the primary thing that we listen to. And so Gladwell describes an incident, and I've used the same illustration when I talk about the four Gospels and witnessing. But, you know, but when a police come up for an emergency, they're responding to what they hear on the radio call. They know nothing else. They don't know who you are. They don't know your personal situation. They don't know that you're okay. And I remember reading this. I went back to think about when I was pastoring at St. Peter and St. Paul, and we were still living next door in the parsonage, and the custodian and I were the number one and two people if the alarm went off. And this female officer showed up with her dog, and the alarm's going. I can hear it all the way over across the house. We're pretty far away. And I told her, I said, well, you want me to turn the alarm off? She wanted me to open the door and let the dog in. And I said, and she said, no, but she had a procedure to do. And every time I questioned her, she finally looked at me and just told me to be quiet, let her do her job. But they have a procedure. They do that when they come into a situation. So sometimes when we see things, you have to understand they're only responding to knowledge they have in the moment, and they take in that information, process it, and that's how they respond until they learn differently. So that's what happens. Then story today. Jesus is traveling between Tyre and Sidon, and he's in unfamiliar, non-Jewish territory. And they're walking along the road, and this lady's screaming at him, you know, have mercy on me, son of David. My daughter is being tormented by a demon. She keeps yelling. Jesus frames. It's a woman. She's a Canaanite. She's a local. And she's a pagan. He fills in the blanks. No husband. No security. No status. Not important. So he doesn't answer her. Text says so. She must have kept screaming because the disciples say, Jesus, you need to tell her to be quiet. You know, at least notice her, you know, or send her away or something. And Jesus says, true to the pattern of his ministry, he says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was sent for the Jews. He healed the Jews. He was just following God's instructions. She wasn't a Jew. Ergo, she's not part of his pattern. But she persists, and she comes up in front of him and kneels and says, Lord, have mercy on me. And again, he's speaking from his assumptions, that first response. It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs, and he keeps on walking. Snap judgment. Out of racism, bigotry, sexism, prejudice, impatience, we don't know. But however, he made that decision. So it is our expectations that have been upset. When I started doing this psychology stuff years ago, and I would read a text like this, this is not the Jesus I grew up knowing. You know? Wise, caring, compassionate, all those things we use to describe who Jesus is and to love. But what attracts me to Jesus is exactly what this story illustrates. His humanness. He's acting out of the frame that he grew up in the place where he was raised, with the training he had up to that point. And that's what's going on here with this dialogue with this woman of what's happening. But the Canaanite woman refuses to be judged by Jesus' expectations. She sort of demands. So she gets right in front of him and kneels and demands that he pays attention to her and to listen, to see her for who she is, not for what he thinks she is. And so her response is, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Jesus could have let his expectations continue to happen. And he could have went on and only talked and healed and practiced among the Jewish brothers and sisters. But he didn't. And he stopped. And since I've watched enough biblical movies growing up, and then The Chosen has come out, and so we have some images in our head of how people may respond. So I can see Jesus with that, going from that hard, ignoring look that we sometimes give people that we don't know, and we're not, or afraid of, and the softening, and the change in the eyes, as he now looks at her, and he sees her. And the face starts to soften, the voice drops a little bit. She's still a woman. She's a Gentile. And under his Jewish understanding, she's unclean. And yet when he looks beyond these expectations, he sees faith. She's stepping out of her element to approach him and ask him for help. And there's a child that's in need of healing. So he had to set aside his assumptions. What I find interesting here is the conversion that takes place is not the woman, it's Jesus. And that just freaks me out sometimes. Because, you know, we have this image. I have my assumption of who Jesus is. And to see that he changed in that moment. He says, "Woman, great is your faith. It will be done as you wish." And her daughter's healed. What I find really interesting about this is that we all function like that. We make snap judgments based on the frames that we've been learned and trained and understand, and it's the way we survive in the world. But Jesus in this encounter shows us that sometimes we're wrong in that snap judgment. And our minds can be changed, and we need to look around and pay attention to those around us and to see who they are. So I want to prove that to you, and we're going to do another little test. Only this time you know what's coming, and you know how to slow down, and you know how to look past your expectations. So in unison, I want us all to say the word shop 5 times. Ready? Shop, 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 shop. And what do you do with a green light? Oh, go, go. You weren't listening, were you? The point is, we need to be like Jesus sometimes. We have to stop and we have to listen and take a step back. I learned a long time ago in ministry that I had to learn to engage brain before opening mouth. That I have to listen to you or to anybody that talks to me. That I need to listen first, then run it through my system, and then say, is this the appropriate thing to say in this appropriate moment at this appropriate time? I need to run that through my... So I've retrained the brain to do that. But initially, early in my ministry, I had foot and mouth disease all the time and got in trouble. I was talking to a young minister the other day, and he says, Marty, he said, but you're really good at what you do. And I says, yeah, but you don't see all the mistakes I made to get here. Which is true. We get better by learning from the mistakes we make. And that's what Jesus did here. If we can look past how someone might be dressed or how they act or what they do, we can see that they're just another person of God, another human being. And sometimes they act that way because they're reaching out. Sometimes they act that way because it's the only way they know how to act, and it always gets something that they want. But we need to look beyond that sometimes. We need to be able to shape and have our hearts of love that Jesus looks at us. Because look around you. We're not all the same. I wouldn't want you all to be the same. Not in any way, shape, or form. Every one of you is unique in your own way. And yet God accepts all of us for who we are, where we are. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today is a new creed from the United Church of Canada that they put together in 1980. And so, as you are able, I'm going to ask you to stand and let us affirm our faith together and stay standing for our hymn, Trust and Obey. Together we affirm, we are not alone, we live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to God in prayer this morning, are there joys and or concerns to be lifted to this community of faith today? If not, in the bulletin you'll see there's the prayer list for a lot of different things for our homebound. There's a homebound of the week to send a card to the different folks we're praying with that are listed there. To have you know that the prayer group and then the staff, we all receive another longer prayer list that's not always printed for you because people have given us things to pray for that we don't publicly talk about. But they want somebody lifted in prayer. So that's always going on. Birthdays and anniversaries are there if you know those individuals. Our sister churches, this week it's Emmanuel in Bromley, where Jack Denham is pastor, and Christ in Fort Thomas, where Diane Vago is the interim. As always, we pray for what's going on in the world and in our country and in our communities and for individuals that we know, whatever's going on. We're still traveling, or we're at the end of that travel season as we get ready to move into the fall and school starting again. I have some beautiful flowers next to me by the pulpit here in celebration of the life of Wayne Hedeberg, who lived from March 13th, 43, and died on August 12th, 26. Services were yesterday. That's Jody Otto's father, and we thank her for having the flowers with us this morning to grace our sanctuary today. Not that I don't like the greener we have every week, but these are prettier, you know. Yeah. But we always have greenery. It's important to remember, you know, the greenery's there because that indicates life. And, you know, one of the things we like in the springtime is when the grass starts to get to green darker and the flowers start to rise and the little sprouts come up out of the ground. It's an indication of another season, but it's also an indication that God is still here. You know, it's like I always tell people, if you farm or you garden, you have to believe in God because there's a point where all you have to do is leave it in the ground. You can fertilize, you can plant it, you can water it, but eventually you just have to walk away and let God grow that seed. So this is to indicate life, just like the candles are to indicate the Spirit of Christ is in this space while we worship. There are things. Are there any other things we need to raise before God this day? If not, let us take a time to focus and ground ourselves as we come together in prayer. So I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath and then let it out and then breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in God and breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Oh God, we are always aware that you are with us in a church we call an abiding presence. And even though you know all things and we say things out loud here in church during prayer time, but you still hear the murmurings of us as we pray each day throughout the week. You do not deny any of us your favor. But as we gather together in this place, together in this community of faith today, help us to understand what is going on in our lives. Help us to be able to fathom and to understand how you move in our lives. Touch us in ways we do not understand or comprehend, that moves us and guide us and brought us to this place today. So as we continue the journey of our life, may we be able to see how you have been at work, about how you move us through this world and you guide us, and situations arise where we're in the right place at the right time, talking to the right people, and say, my God, the right thing. We are grateful that you have been with us as we've journeyed to this day and brought us here to be able to celebrate and to thank you and to worship together. But in our frustration, oh God, we ask that you give us grace to be patient. Because sometimes we want things to move really fast. So hear us as we have opened our minds and hearts in prayer this day. There are those who are grieving. There are those who are just separated from their loved ones by distance or because of reasons beyond our comprehension. We know there are those who are preparing for surgery, recovering from surgery. There are those who are going through rehabilitation. There are always those that we need to remember who are serving our country in the name of peace. So when we gather in prayer, God, we gather in gratitude and in grace. And may we be patient and feel your grace as we have worshiped this day. Oh God, we continue to remember that we are all part of your creation, that we are all your children, that we are all part of the family of God. But most of all, we are grateful for your Son, Jesus, and we offer the prayer that he taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
What is our response to God, who has acted mightily on our behalf, who has blessed us with his abundance and prosperity? How will we show our thanks to one who saves us from foes within and without? May our offerings be expressions of our gratitude. Ushers may come forward. Thank you.
Please join with me in our prayer of dedication. From this very place, this point, this speck of earth where we have gathered in your name, may our gifts honor you, giver of all good things, inspiring us to give more, do more, be more of your presence in this suffering and struggling world. May our actions today say more about you than us. Magnify these gifts far beyond their material worth according to the spirit in which they are given. Bless us to your service in our giving and receiving. Amen. I was given a note. Tom, what did you have prayers for?
Just concerns about all those people in the country that are affected by natural disasters.
Yeah. Newport schools got canceled today just because the roads couldn't be passed. Eric has a chainsaw. He's more than happy to... Yes, thanks, Tom. There are those people out there. Even in Ohio, my street was blocked for a while where I live. It's a lot of rural area. I'm out in Green Township, if you know where that is. So it is something we need to think about. It's cleanup still going. There were people in my neighborhood that were without electric for 5 days. I never got out without, but there are some, or longer. Wendy's one of those. Yeah, she lives in Cheviot. Yeah.
Victory's no internet.
Oh yeah, she has no internet too. That's really upsetting her. We find out what we can't live without. Okay. But today we were challenged, you know, how we respond in a situation where we immediately respond to someone who walks into our lives. And even Jesus was human. And as I said in my sermon, that's what makes it close to me, because he was human and divine. And that just makes, and that means he knows what we go through. And he knows that we screw up. And sometimes we do make mistakes just like that. But yet he understood what it was, and he changed. He changed. We too can change. Share the good news with those who need to hear it, that we can gather again together here in this place next Sunday. Until we meet again, let us go in the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us go in peace. Amen.